CliffCentral.com.
All righty, it's Nicole Scherzinger on the rocks. Is she still? What's she doing? I mean, she's off the picture, off the scene, right? No one's really paying attention to her, are they?
Is she still doing that young fellow? What's his name again?
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. Are those two still?
Well, Rita Ora was spotted in the pits with him.
Rita Ora. Look at you, Ryan Seacrest.
I watched the F1.
Oh, never mind.
You just insulted Ben.
I just look at pits.
Listen, there's a lot of that we can unpack a bit later on. But right now, there's probably the most important consumer electronics show in the world, the CES that they have in Vegas, and the guy who was there is our own Liron Segev. He's moved to Dallas, Texas, but he is at the CES. Were you at it, or are you there now, Liron?
I was there, and I'm back.
Okay, how was it, man? It looked amazing from your tweets and everything.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is Geek Fest heaven. Yeah. You've never seen so many geeks converge in one place in your entire life.
I don't think you were as happy as this when you got married.
I shit you nuts. But I'll tell you what. I have been to the future. It's full of robotics, self-driving cars, drones, and it's friggin' awesome.
All right, now we know a little bit about, and I saw you posted a video about all these drones, and I love them. There's one that they've just brought out now called the DJI Mavic, which is the sexiest thing I've ever seen. It's a portable drone. All of them are portable, but this one you can fold up into a little box the size of it's half the size of a laptop bag.
Pretty much, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And it steers itself. It can avoid obstacles. So all those idiot drone pilots like me who are not particularly experienced, we won't crash into trees and all the rest of it. This is the thing that everybody's excited about. It costs how much was it?
That's a fair whack. It's a $999 is the base model.
So we're talking about 18,000 Rand. It's an expensive toy if you can have it.
Toy.
Yeah,
it's pretty much.
Got a great camera on it though, and there's not very much you can't do with it. Is that the most exciting gadget you saw at CES?
Well, I mean, CES is made up of a whole bunch of it. I mean, drones were everywhere, and what was interesting is that everybody is going towards the foldable, portable drones, because exactly what you said is there's lots of drones out there, but you need an entire suitcase to carry these damn things.
Yeah.
So it kind of defeats the purpose. So a lot of the Chinese companies, a lot of the Me Too companies are coming up with these little fold-up drones. They are $399, 4K camera, and just you know, for your good old photography, aerial photography, as a starting drone, not bad. But there's one trend which is in the drone world is really, I don't know how to even put this, but if you think the selfie stick was a nightmare, it is now the drone stick.
Oh,
It's getting worse.
How does this work?
Okay. The drone selfie is effectively you push a button, this thing floats up, turns and faces you, and takes a picture of you and your friends. Oh, my God. This thing is, I mean, it's great technology. I mean, let's be honest. You know, you push a button, this thing just does it by itself.
Yeah.
It tracks your movement. You can run around a field. It will follow you. Oh, fantastic. But can you imagine going to a public place now and having lots of these drones flying everywhere trying to take pictures of their owners? I don't know.
You know, I can't imagine. Like, I've seen these things being used at weddings. I've seen them being used for kind of celebrity functions and all those sort of things. And it does seem to be a little more elegant than a selfie stick.
But the noise, the constant buzzing, I think the tech is there. Don't get me wrong. I think the technology is there. I think the fact that these things are foldable and can stick into your back pocket, you can whip them out at any time. You're on the beach with your mates. You throw them up in the air. They take a good, like, 360-degree photo in the sky. From a tech point of view, from a geek point of view, fantastic. Do we want lots of these things flying around, kind of a Melrose Arch situation? I'm not so convinced at this stage.
This might be a less cerebral thought, but I'm seeing a whole lot of photo bombers suddenly becoming even more creative now. I mean, you just painted that whole 360-degree angle that the drone is going to have. I mean, photo bombers are going to be doing handstands and all kinds of things now in people's pictures.
Well, already, if you've seen anything on YouTube with your with the drones, you know that these guys are up to, dare I say, no good by trying to fly up into people's windows and over nude beaches. So this is just going to get better and bigger and
How
better.
How did we know humans would send these to nude beaches first? How did we know this? This is just so predictable.
I think that's how it started. but I'll tell you what's interesting as well is that the drones have gone underwater too this year.
Yes.
So if you're a lazy fisherman, you can now send this thing called a power ray into the water. Yeah. It uses sonar and LED to find the fish. And the theory is it's supposed to film the fish. However, obviously, it's got a little lure as well, so you're able to send your rod exactly to the where the fish is located.
Wow.
So cheating, not cheating, I don't know. You could be the judge of that. So that's all in the drone section. But interesting enough is that apparently pushing a button on a remote control has just become way too hard for us humans. And now we need to talk to our machines and no longer push the on-off button. So the future is filled with home automation, voice assistance. Alexa from Amazon is basically leading the pack.
Yeah.
And you're able to do things with your Ford car, like unlock your car, lock it, start it, all with your voice. You can put your toast in and say, I want it medium. You can talk to your fridge and say, hey, what's the weather today? All with your voice because, well, we just got lazier and lazier, just one more level down.
And lonelier and lonelier. It's people talking to technology now to help make that loneliness go away.
But it's crazy because you can get these things. Now I've just seen something where you get two of these bots talking to each other. So they had a full conversation, two computers. And we were watching this crap unfold. I mean, really, I think we've lost the plot a little bit.
Liron, have they got anywhere with wearables? I mean, we talk all about smartwatches and we talk about these clothes that have solar panels in them. But is there anything really exciting? If they're going to unveil stuff like this, the newest, next big thing, it's going to be at CES. Mm-hmm.
Right. So wearables, funny enough, there were less watches that there were in the previous years, those smartwatches. Wearables have moved away from just being on your wrist, you know, with your Fitbit and your TomTom watches. Mm. They've moved into being sewn into the clothes themselves.
Right.
So now it starts to capture every minute movement. And the theory of it is that it sends that information to an app, and it will tell you that your golf swing is off by 0.03 millimeters, and then your gym workout would have been a lot more effective had you done this with your elbow. So it's kind of looking down to the microfibers now, to the micro movements, to try to get you better and better results. Wow. On the other side of things is that some of these things are for medical reasons. So it can predict things like heart attacks. It can help in those situations, in the elderly especially, when they're by themselves. And then something in the fitness and kind of almost protective field. Things like vests, which if you're riding a motorcycle, it will actually become like an airbag. So the vest itself will puff up, which I thought was quite cool.
That's amazing. Was there anything that you had to leave with that thing in your bag? There was no way you're going to go away without it.
Well, there's a couple that I kind of classified into the absolute needed, useful, and then cool if it happens. So, and needed, because all these things are all connected to our home Wi-Fi security is a big deal. So something like a Bitdefender box, which is a box that you stick onto your network, and it will automatically secure every single one of your devices, like your PlayStation, your Xbox, etc. I think that's absolutely critical into the future, especially as things are getting more connected.
Right.
Under the useful category, now this is quite cool. You know, normally we have headphones which sit in your ear, over your ear, or on top of your ear, right? Those are kind of the three categories. This one actually sits on your cheekbone.
What?
And the idea is that it leaves your ear free. So if you're riding, if you're cycling or you're jogging, you want to be aware of your surroundings, but still listen to your music. This thing is very surreal because it's like voices in your head without something inside your ear. It's called Aftershocks. Very cool set of headphones. And the idea is that you're situationally aware of what's going around you, but you still get your music pumping. And you can make phone calls through your Bluetooth phone, which again becomes a whole level of weird where voices are literally inside your cheekbone.
So it uses your cheekbone as an amplifying device.
Pretty much.
Into your ear.
But it works so well. I didn't expect it. I mean, you know, at the beginning when Bluetooth headsets came out, and everybody who was an investment banker wannabe had one of those.
Oh, do you remember how annoying they were?
So, but this is now a whole new level of cool, and it works well. And the idea is about safety. So if you're out jogging or you're out cycling, you want to know what's going on around you, but still get your tunes into your head. This will do it for you. Wow. So that's under the useful category. And the final thing is under the I really wish these would happen is two things. One is a coffee machine, because, you know, me and my coffee and, you know, are a must.
You're obsessed.
A coffee machine which has got basically automatically becomes your barista. So it does syrups, it does your various coffee makes, it does recipes, all because of this little thing called an NFC chip that sits on the bottom of your cup. You put your cup in underneath it. There's no buttons to be pushed. It just knows what to pour for you. That's going to be quite cool and a great little gadget to have at home. And then the final one, which I really liked, was something called a fridge cam. So, you know, how many of us have gone shopping, think we bought everything, come back home to realize, damn, we're out of milk or we're out of eggs or some other item. Mm-hmm. What this will do is it will take a picture of everything in your fridge, send it to your phone, and say, hey, you're out of this, mate. Don't forget to buy this. Don't forget to buy that. And I thought that was quite cool. Yeah, very, very cool stuff.
Wow. All right. You've given us a lot to think about this morning. What is the crowd at CES like? Who goes to these things?
Okay, so I think the first 1 or 2 days, CES is made up of a couple of official days, right? But these pre-shows that happen before CES, and this is where all the real cool media stuff happens. So that the first couple of days is media from around the world. Then the other days is pretty much people who are into technology and a lot of investors looking for gems, you know, to find in the crowd some cool company they can invest in.
Right.
And then the other guys are the people who are buyers, who are saying, hey, I want to stock this on my shelf. This will be cool in my, you know, across my chains. And if you remember, in the U.S. and everywhere around the world, we're talking about kind of 100, 300, 400 stores. If you get into one of those companies, these companies make it really, really big based on a little booth at CES, which costs two arms and a foot.
Wow.
But yes.
But it could be your big break. I mean, if you were...
That exactly. I think if you work it, if you hustle, and a lot of these guys are there to hustle, they really get onto the scene. And you find really cool products, not in the main stands. You know, look, all the big brands are there, and they've got all the money to burn, so they've kind of taken over entire exhibition halls. We look for the things which are on the side, the little booth, which kind of cost much less, and the road less travel. And that's where you find really innovative stuff of really, really smart guys around the world doing really cool stuff with technology, which it's just a matter of time before they get picked up by the big boys.
Liron, thanks so much, man. It's good to hear your voice again, and great to connect with you. And well done for representing a little bit of South Africa at CES and for telling us what you saw.
Awesome. Anytime. I'm always here for you guys.
All right, man. Lovely to speak to you. Cheers.
Speak to you soon. Cheers.
Thank you. There's Liron Segev, the techie guy. You can find him on Twitter, and you can find him at CES. Clearly, that's the place to be. He's in Dallas. He's a tech blogger at Techie Guy, if you're on Twitter, and techieguy.com if you want to go and check out his site. He's also got a YouTube channel, Liron Segev. That's LironSegev. Go and check him out. Sounds like he's got his eye on all the exciting stuff, huh?
Yeah, some of that stuff sounds a little bit too futuristic for my liking.
Are you kidding?
And he was talking about the headphones that rest on your cheek.
I'm still
trying to picture it and thinking, what would that even feel like?
The closest thing I got to it is just envisioning all of us looking like who? Left Eye or Nelly? Do you remember that trend?
Yeah,
right. Or a football player with this tape.
They had that paint on All right, I got you. All right, listen, there's a lot of news to catch up on this morning, and I know Mubs and Ben and Sia have already handled some of that. The Ghanaian president completely copied George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, of all people, in his inauguration speech. And shame, the guy was off to a really good start, opposition party leader.
He
lost two elections before this one. He eventually won it. But the guy didn't want to leave, who was the incumbent. And so eventually there was a compromise, and this guy was elected president, and it was ratified, and the other guy decided, all right, fine, I'll step down. And then he copies, as his first act during his inauguration, he copies and pastes parts of Bill Clinton and George W. Bush's speeches as if they were his own. Now, I don't love plagiarism. But maybe it's been going on in politics forever. Maybe they've been copying each other since the dawn of time. And the only reason we found out now is because the internet.
You see, now that is an interesting point that you raise.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. This has been, politicians have always done this.
I'm sure at some point George W. Bush must have borrowed from George Sr.'s, you know, speeches. You know, maybe once in a while he borrowed from a paragraph that was, you know, a hit with the crowd.
Right. My daddy.
Well, they're all kind of saying the same thing after a while. They want to build trust with you, and they want to say things that might give you the idea you're going to benefit from them being there.
Yes.
So it's like, word Jenga. You're going to pull this out, you're going to put that in. It's all going to sound similar.
Well, I also am hearing from a lot of people about Meryl Streep yesterday at the Golden Globes. Plus, people are also talking about a kiss that happened in the crowd. I don't know if you saw this. This was on the news sites this morning. That Ryan Reynolds and Andrew Garfield, that's Spider-Man and Deadpool,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Gave each other a massive tongue kiss.
They're bromance.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of excitement happening there. So a lot of people were talking about that too. But The View.
The View.
My favorite show.
Oh,
is that still going?
Yes.
Those old trouts still alive?
Yeah. With Whoopi Goldberg and them.
The only one who's left is Barbara Walters, but she's still alive. So here's Whoopi. She introduces this whole thing about Meryl Streep. It's quite an interesting conversation. I'll just play you a little
snippet. Let me guess. She's all for Meryl Streep.
Of course. Here's Whoopi.
It's not going to be...
Hang on. This is the wrong clip. This is another guy talking about it. Here is Whoopi talking about it on The View. And... there's five of them. There's Joy Behar. There's Dana.
No, they not change all the time.
Yeah. But they've got the regulars are Whoopi and Joy, all right?
At last night's Golden Globes Award, Meryl Streep won the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award.
She learned to speak from Bill Cosby.
It's a bit too close to...
You have to say something if you really care about it.
All right.
During her acceptance speech. Take a look.
There was one performance this year that stunned me.
Hmm.
It sank its hooks in my heart. Not because it was good. There was nothing good about it. But it was effective and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter. Someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. Forgive me,
I'm getting too emotional. I can't even listen to this. I'm breaking down.
It kind of broke my heart when I saw it, and I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life.
Just by the way, it was 2015 when this happened. So it wasn't last year, and she didn't bring it up at last year's Golden Globes. Not that she got an award.
Gareth, she was still too offended. She had to give it some time. She was still too offended.
I got you. All right.
So we'll get to that person's response in a minute. But did she get you? Did she make you see it? Did she make you feel it? Was it inappropriate, appropriate? What do you think?
She made me turn it off, if I'm being honest. She did. She made me turn it off. Not because I don't respect her right to an opinion. Not because I think she's a phenomenally talented actress, but when I turn on an award show, I don't want to be lectured about politics. I don't want to be lectured about climate change or about the NRA or about a left-wing issue or a right-wing issue. I want to appreciate your talent as an actor. I want to appreciate these films, and I want to leave the politics out of it. And I hate when this happens because 9 out of 10 times, we'll all agree, the views do shift left, and there are people out there who love Meryl Streep and love her acting, but don't want to be made to feel like they're being marginalized for their politics.
At this point, Whoopi's about to explode. You can imagine. But here's a woman with a different point of view. She's not going with what everybody else is saying, and I'm not going to play you the whole thing. It goes on for about 12 minutes, but the other girls all kind of gang up on her and eventually like put her in her place, which is precisely what happens on social media these days. If you disagree with someone, it's not good enough for you to say, well, let me listen to your point of view. Maybe you have something to add. Maybe I can learn something. Maybe I can teach you something. Instead, we shut each other down.
Mm.
And it even happened on The View. They basically shut her down after this. And I just thought it was very telling because that's precisely what happens these days. And you know what? For the average American who doesn't live the life that Meryl Streep lives, as we discussed yesterday, And Meryl talks about, you know, minorities and women and the disabled and a whole lot of other communities that she decides to represent on the stage in Hollywood, but she has no connection to whatsoever because she lives in this rarefied world. Mm-hmm. Here's a woman who's got a different opinion, who's maybe not at Meryl Streep levels, but is still part of the establishment, but thank God has a different opinion because it makes conversation interesting. If you talk to people who agree with you the whole time, nobody learns anything.
Mm. You all basically just reaffirm that all your opinions are the best opinions and that you're all great.
Right. And by the way, there was a funny thing that when we played the clip yesterday, Meryl Streep made reference to MMA out of nowhere. Did you hear that?
Yeah, something that threatens her and her ilk because people care about it.
Now, she says if there was no art in the world, all that would be left is like MMA and what?
Football.
Yeah.
Right. So she's now clearly, she's got a target market she's trying to nail here. She's anti people who would be for this stuff. And Dana White, who's the head of I think he's UFC or whatever. Yeah. Fired back at her, called her an uppity old 80-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But he's quite – I don't think he's necessarily that rude. He just makes a point that MMA is actually in some ways becoming bigger than a lot of the things in the movie industry because the movie industry is on the way down, and this is on the way up.
It's not going to be everybody's thing, and the last thing in the world I expect is an uppity 80-year-old lady to be in our demographic and love mixed martial arts.
Do you think she was making an attack on you because you did speak at the RNC?
I don't know. Maybe she did. I'm not sure. I mean, Ari Emanuel is definitely Hollywood, and he makes movies and TV shows, and wasn't a Trump supporter either. But I don't know. If you really look at who follows the UFC and is into mixed martial arts, it's everybody. I don't expect an 80-year-old woman to be a big fan of mixed martial arts.
Just by the way, she's not 80, right? I don't think Meryl's 80.
Let's do that.
But again, why bring mixed martial arts? These people are really, really superior athletes.
Oh, no, she's only 67.
Exactly. She's not 80-year-old. Okay, but MMA. Now, I'm not a big fan of MMA. I don't watch UFC or anything else. But these guys are the most extraordinary fighting machines. And just like a great actor, a great fighter should be recognized for the amount of discipline and the amount of incredible focus they have in their lane. Why would Meryl need to knock them as part of this? It feels to me almost like it's an us versus them situation.
It always is, though, Gareth.
Yeah, she's putting a whole lot of people in her camp, and she's putting a whole bunch of people in Trump's camp, and she's just saying, well, those people are not as good as us, which is precisely why Hollywood doesn't count for so many people in America anymore. Their opinions don't matter. Nobody cares about their dumb artsy movies. Who's going to watch La La Land compared to the number of people who watch the UFC fight with Ronda Rousey?
Hmm. Well, I'm just not a fan of musicals. They bore me to death. That's just me.
Okay, that's just
I'm with you as well.
Some
of our lives are a musical.
Anyway, I just wanted to catch up because we started talking about this yesterday, and you know how the internet, one day later, everything changes.
She's been called that. Donald Trump calls her the most overrated actress in Hollywood.
Which is nonsense because she's absolutely one of the most talented if not the most talented actress of all time.
Oh, really. Yeah. You see.
Can't knock Meryl's credentials.
Well, yeah. He's offended.
Well, listen, Donald said in 2015 that she's his favorite actress. So he speaks with forked tongue.
Yeah, so he tweeted.
Your feelings get hurt. You throw an insult, you know, back and forth. It becomes a back and forth thing. That's how we humans relate to each other.
But like one thing this thing has, have your views on this, but it's just shown one of Donald's true biggest flaws. He'll react to anything because he's got the ego, takes it personally. So can you imagine any country in the world say something about America? He'll act like a child, and this proves it.
This proves it. I mean, if Meryl was, if her only intention was to show how childish and prickly Donald Trump is, and by the way, many people have up to now, he responds to all of those people.
Mm.
And it's an interesting thing. I listened to a commentator the other day saying that the funny thing about Donald is he doesn't take on ordinary small people on Twitter. He doesn't take on, like if Mubs or I had to tweet him, we're not on his level.
He wouldn't give us the time of day.
But if someone who's a celebrity or a journalist or someone who's in a powerful position takes him on, he always responds. Like he's not prepared to take hits. He won't take cheap shots from anybody, which is an interesting point of view. However, the guy's clearly so... the ego is so prickly that he does respond to these things. And if Meryl's intention was to upset him, well, then she's got what she needed. But at the same time, it's not so much Donald, but the people who would have voted for Donald and even the people who've moved on, who don't care about politics now, want to get on with their lives because it's been like a 2-year election cycle and people are sick of it, right?
Mm.
They're all going, listen, you're offending us, Meryl. So she's making enemies she doesn't need.
Oh, my goodness.
And what for? I saw a whole bunch of celebrities put together a farewell video for Obama because, obviously, Obama's the celebrity president and all these celebrities, you know, they've all got access that they've never had before to the White House. Obama was the guy who would go on all the talk shows. Never before did a president do that, and we loved him for it. He made himself accessible. But these celebrities have started to think they're in the White House. That's the problem. They all started to think that they were as important as the president because this president paid attention to them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's you stroke their egos and they get this idea that they're important.
And also, it's nice to be able to walk around and say that you are friends with Obama, which is...
But they all do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
All of them. Ellen's there and yes. Jay-Z and Beyonce are there and they're all just saying what big friends they are, the president. Don't worry, Kanye will be doing that in the next 4 years. But these are people who live in a world where they never get told, actually, you're wrong. So no one ever questions themselves. They believe they're a special breed of creature, and this proves it. Meryl is right up there. She's the Dowager Queen of Hollywood.
But do you know what I love? The Secret Service doesn't play, and the Secret Service does not care.
No.
So remember, I think it was in November, Ellen DeGeneres received the Medal of Freedom Award.
Yeah.
So she went to the White House without her ID.
Yes.
And she was kept outside because... Secret Service is like, I don't care who you dance with on your show. You don't have an idea, you don't come in. And so Obama had one of his farewell star-studded parties recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a whole bunch of people. Magic Johnson was there, Nick Jonas was there, Kelly Rowland was there. And also Jerry Seinfeld was also there. And he was turned away from the party.
Jerry Seinfeld?
He was turned away because his license says Jerome Seinfeld instead of Jerry Seinfeld.
And he was on the list as Jerry.
Yeah, well, you know.
Secret Service is like, we don't care. You're on syndication and you're hilarious. Sorry, your license doesn't say something accurate.
I still have a job that I need to do. Also, in that moment, though, also, it must be kind of nice when that Secret Service person gets to turn away a celebrity. They're like, yeah, you think you're so important. Well, I'm going to do my job and your job is going to trump your importance right now.
Well, it's like any security guard. You try and visit a friend of yours who lives in a golf estate these days. That you have to give them your ID, your fingerprints. They take a picture of you.
They're 2 seconds away from a blood sample.
I mean, next they will be asking you for a semen sample.
Do you know what, though? Jessica, who's Jerry Seinfeld's wife, went in and left him behind.
Yeah, priorities, man. I'm going to go see the president. I mean.
All right, can I bring us back to home while we're talking about news stories and stuff that happened over the holidays and the last couple of weeks? So New Year's Eve, there's a lot of people who go crazy. They throw things out of windows. They party hard. They get really drunk. Stupid stuff happens. But one guy was in the news over the holidays. You remember soccer player Ryan Buerta. He's now a trainer. He's got his own gym. He's got this whole thing happening. So Ryan rescued a dude. He was like a hero. He saved a guy who would have died. And he hurt himself in the process.
Ouch.
Yeah, he fell like 2 stories trying to rescue this guy.
What?
But he managed to rescue him. And he managed to get this dude... and give him CPR and resuscitate him and all the rest. And he's on the line now. Hey, Ryan, how are you, man?
Speak yourself, Blakey. What's happening?
Good, dude. Are you still in hospital?
I've been here since the 31st.
Oh,
that's
my
a
gosh.
Great way to spend New Year. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, happy birthday for the 5th. I'll have my birthday here as well.
Oh, happy birthday and happy New Year while you've been lying in hospital. Now, you've got... You've broken your own leg.
Yes.
What happened because... I'm amazed, and rightly, a lot of people are saying, well, you're a hero, you saved this guy's life, which is incredible. But did you have to kill yourself halfway in the process?
Look, I was inside. I heard someone screaming. He slipped. He's fallen. I ran out of guy. He'd slipped and fallen three stories below. He had landed on a roof below on his head, and he was a lot of blood. I tried to find a way down. A lot of guys were in absolute panic. So my partner Neil and Stanley running around trying to find a way to get down, and there was just no way. I had to jump. So he ran to the bottom house trying to climb from the bottom, Neil, and I launched from two stories.
Oh, my God.
It was about 2 meters across and about 5 or 6 meters down. To be honest with you, I sort of tried park roll it into my shoulder. I thought I'd break my arm, but I ended up breaking my leg.
So you landed and then broke your leg and still crawled over to him, gave him CPR.
Yeah.
And the paramedics managed to make it in time to get you both to hospital.
Yes. So when I managed to get across, I realized that he was actually just drowning on his own blood. It was terrible sound. So I may have to make a choice of moving his neck slightly without knowing what damage there was. It was thankfully the right choice. It managed to save his life, but he only had minutes left. Then I waited for about 10 or 15 minutes, keeping him calm, without trying to look at my leg, which was grinding away. And then, yeah, when they got there, I was grateful that I was for about 2 hours without any morphine while they attended to him, and they managed to save his life then. Yeah, so it's been amazing.
So, Ryan, yeah, it's been amazing. You're lying in hospital. Listen, when you do this kind of thing, the paramedics told you that he would have definitely died if you hadn't got to him when you did and you hadn't done what you did.
Yes, yeah.
So you saved the guy's life for New Year.
I did. Yeah, I did.
I mean, that's properly heroic.
Yeah, it's when I did it, I wasn't really thinking about that. I did it because this guy needed help. You know, and I'll be honest, I didn't think I'd break my leg as bad as I did.
Where did you break it?
Well, my ankle completely dislocated and came up near my shin somewhere. My fibula, it snapped midway and it almost pierced my skin on the inside.
Oh.
I knew I was going to break something. I just didn't think I'd break my leg so badly. But yeah, it was worth it in the end. I mean, like I said, I'm lying here. I will rehab. It'll take me about a year to rehab and recover. But it was worth it. The guy's in the same ward now as me, and he's recovering slowly, and it definitely paid off.
You know, Ryan, at this stage, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, screw me and my stupid resolutions. You actually saved somebody's life. And I think a lot of us would actually have just kind of like stood around and waited to see who jumps in. Mm. You are that guy. What possesses you to go in and do what you did?
I think it's well, Gareth knows me pretty well. It's my nature to run through walls. So the doctor said to me by my old injuries through sport, he says, you're the kind of guy that likes to jump through walls. You don't pull out of much, do you? I said, I really don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, it's true. So basically, yeah, I saw this guy. I thought he was breathing. I thought he had stopped. I thought, no, I've got to get down there. I found the lowest point, and I launched.
Wow. Ryan, all those years of playing football and the last couple of years, especially of being this, you know, super trainer, I've seen you in the gym. You're a machine. Obviously that helps. It doesn't help you when your bones break, but it will help you. It will help you rehabilitate quicker, will it not?
Yeah, Gareth, I'll be honest. What the doctor said to me was the fact that I am strong. It actually saved a lot more. He said to me, people, that sort of impact I made, which I didn't realize at the time, he said most people will break a back or even possibly die on breaking that back, which is the severity of it. So the fact that I have trained and kept myself strong will definitely help just break a leg, and it will hopefully help in the long-term rehab. You know, we call it prehab. You know, when you know you have an op, you train before the op, you prep yourself, you make your body strong. So I should recover relatively fast. But this way, I've been under sedation twice already. I'm hoping to go under the third time on Thursday, just purely because my swelling's come down so fast and my body's healing quite quick, and he's quite impressed by it. So, yeah.
Well, listen, dude, I don't want to know what you look like right now. I'm sure it's horrendous. But I did see you tweet something, or you put something on Instagram or something yesterday about the guy next door in the hospital. He farted really loudly while you were lying there.
Gareth, it was so loud. I was lying here and one ripped, and I mean, I enjoy that sort of humor. I giggle. So I had my nose under the bank and I was just crying laughing. I'm pretty sure the whole ward heard it. They must have. It was deadly.
Oh, man. All right, when do you get out of hospital? Do you have any idea?
If the op goes well on Thursday, I'm hoping Saturday or Sunday.
Jeez, all right. Well, listen, dude, all the best for a quick recovery.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Have friends and family at least had the decency to come and visit you?
I've been amazed by the response. You know, I thought I've been, not the greatest mate lately, but apparently I'm quite loved. So I've had a lot of people coming to visit me and pop in and emails and phone calls, and it's been amazing, the response. So I'm quite grateful.
Well, listen, we're all very grateful. I'm sure the guy whose life you saved is very grateful. Thank goodness there are actual people who do, as Mabali says, the things that the rest of us resolve to do and never actually get around to doing. But next time, let's try to spend New Year and your birthday with a little less drama, can we?
That was kind of the plan for this year, to be honest. I wanted to watch the sunset, and I didn't expect to be jumping two stories. I'll try for next year.
And get those...
That's my New Year's resolution for next year, how's that?
Yeah, listen, I could think of a thousand ways. I know how badly you behave, but there's no reason for this. None whatsoever. Next time I'll just find us a bunch of really exciting looking beautiful blonde girls and we can party with
Gareth,
them all night.
Had you invited me to that party last time, I wouldn't have been in the situation.
Right. You see? My fault.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I'm blaming you completely.
Dude. All right.
Okay, guys. Cool. For the call. Cheers, guys. Cheers.
Thanks very
bye-bye.
Much. Cheers. There's Ryan Buerta. What a story, huh?
Sure.
He says his ankle broke and ended up somewhere near his shin. Okay, so who's the real hero? Meryl Streep for making a speech or Ryan Buerta for jumping down two stories to save someone's life?
I'm going to go with Ryan Buerta. He changed the course of destiny.
And who sounds more together about the world and practical and pragmatic and non-egotistical about things? And who broke down during her speech about stuff that doesn't affect her?
Shucks. I'm thinking of, they say when we come across like
and
a
Ryan
situation.
Does MMA, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. There's that whole fight or flight response. Yeah. He didn't just fight.
You see, I'm that person who stands and looks and waits for you to do something.
Oh, my goodness.
But also, what do you think Meryl would do if someone farted next to her in hospital?
She'd call the police. Oh, my God. Wow. All right. Well, listen, I'm very excited. Today we'll speak to Park Stau, the former mayor of Johannesburg, someone I wanted to speak to for a very long time. I'm an admirer of his work here in Johannesburg. I'm an admirer of the administration that he brought in, the kinds of things that he did do. I feel like he's a real patriot. I feel like he's a really good guy in South Africa who wants to achieve good things. And I'm just delighted that he'll join us after 8 o'clock this morning. So Park Stau, former mayor of Johannesburg, coming in to join us just after 8 o'clock. Well, there's lots of other stuff in the news that I thought we needed to refer to. Where do we begin? Let me just see what I've got here. I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff. There's a you know how I love these pastas, these crazy pastas, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's just so many.
Well, there's one.
It's a competitive industry.
There's a new one. His name is Jim Baker. Now, he's actually gone to jail for defrauding people. He went to jail. He basically sold this concept of like a Christian resort, which never really happened, and he defrauded a couple of thousand people of millions of dollars. And he ended up going to jail. So he's now an old man. He's got a beard, but he's back on the trail selling crap to people and flaunting his ideas. So this is him. He's now selling food baskets.
Okay.
For the end times, which are coming, where basically everybody who's really good is going to be taken up in the rapture and the rest of us are going to become zombies and fight each other to the death and it's just going to be hell.
The end is nigh.
Correct. So this is some kind of apocalyptic belief that these people are into. And here's Pastor Jim Baker and his wife, Lori, who looks like a Stepford wife. She's got the short bob blonde hair and she's got way too much face makeup. And the two of them sit there and they have an audience of mostly very old, very white people sit in front of them and they buy this stuff hook, line, and sinker. And by buy, I don't mean just that they're convinced by it. I mean that they also buy the food buckets, but you have to hear it to believe it. Listen to this.
Jesus Christ!
Listen up. You're going to love this.
When I was in prison, I know I was praying and asking God, and God warned me not to get involved with politics.
If Donald Trump actually does become president, it's going to be attributed to nothing else than a miracle from God, and we'll be able to describe it as nothing else than supernatural intervention.
If Donald Trump is elected president of the United States, it will be a miracle.
So you can see where this is going, all right?
Right. I mean, the script has been nicely written for him up until this point, so it works in his favor.
But he was hoping Hillary would be elected, because then it's close to end times. You know, if Hillary was elected, it would be a disaster, and then he could sell more food buckets. So all he's done is spun it the other way around. He said, well, Trump's here for now, but end times are still on the way.
One of the things we've done around here, we stick them under coffee tables and end tables.
This you is the food buckets.
And then put a cloth over them.
Yeah.
Or get a piece of...
And by the way, he wants you to buy like 20 of them. And it'll be a... Imagine a paint drum size bucket filled with potato salad or powdered vegetables or... sweet corn.
I thought it was like a variety of things in a bucket. Oh, you're buying one.
You're buying, but you buy 20 of them, and it'll help you survive the apocalypse. Okay. And people are buying these things. This guy's making millions.
You know, cardboard or a piece of plywood, and you make a top, and then you just stack this food. You could have your whole living room with end tables and coffee tables made out of food buckets.
Isn't this great?
Jackson is 50% Mexican.
Yes. Jim, yes. It's like...
That's funny.
His dad. Isn't he cute?
All right, then he gets this guy on who is... By the way, that Jackson's like a kid. Then there's this whole act these two do. There's a whole act. There's a live studio audience. It's a proper show.
For someone who's really come out of prison, he's back with the band.
Oh, yeah, he is. You know, you've got to give him credit for, you know, not kind of just sitting around and hoping for things to fall in his lap. He's gone straight back out there and back to exploitation.
And he knows how to make scared people more scared. Listen to this quickly, because here's a song that one guy sang on the show about the food buckets.
I've got burgers made of beans. Yes. They're never fried.
Yes.
Saba chips and salsa.
Yep.
To keep me warm way deep inside.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I guess you'd say, Jim and Lori, help me be prepared today for end time.
Jesus, can you imagine?
I'm talking about end time.
End times.
That's my big
fact. Powdered food.
I mean, can you imagine this guy is for real and he's ripping off ordinary people? I do not have the words to begin to explain how irritated this makes me.
But do you have the sympathy for those people who are being ripped off, though? Because I sure as don't. Not a chance. If you are being led down the garden path by Jim and Laurie, these people who sound like they live their life on meth, come on. If it's not them, it's some other charlatan.
But to be honest, do they feel like they're getting ripped off? You see, they believe this, so to them it's fine. They want to sing along to End Times. Yeah, end
probably.
Talking about End Times.
End Times.
What a terrible song. And by the way, isn't that My Girl from
Yes.
the
Yes.
How dare these people just plagiarize that? That's as bad as the president of Ghana. How dare they? They've leaked some audio tape of Obama and Trump talking to each other. Have you heard about this?
No, I did not.
We've got to squeeze this in before we get to Park Style. He'll be on at 8 o'clock, by the way. Park Style, the former mayor of Johannesburg, which is the biggest municipality in South Africa. Mm. Well, in terms of the importance to the economy and everything else. Geographically, I suppose Tshwane is a bigger one. But this guy and quite a capable administration, I have to say, ran the city for a long time. They did a couple of really good things. And I just thought it would be fun to catch up with him, find out what he's up to right now. He's obviously still a councillor, but we'll speak to him in a second. Here is some leaked audio. This is the real thing of Obama and Trump just shooting the breeze.
This is crazy. A White House spokesperson has confirmed that President Barack Obama and Mr. Trump have been talking regularly. Mm-hmm. A big news story, yeah. And they didn't give any more details than that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. We actually got a hold of the audio from several phone calls. Don't giggle. This is real. Yeah. Phone calls between President Obama and President-elect Trump. And I think it's my duty to share these with you.
All right.
Hello? Hello, Barack, it's Trump. You know those gold medals you give out?
Presidential Medals of Honor?
Yeah, can I give them to anyone I want?
Well, there's a process.
I want to give one to Guy Fieri and all the girls from the GoDaddy.com commercial.
Hello?
Quick question, Kazakhstan.
What's your question?
What is it? Some kind of a meat dish?
Kazakhstan is a country in Central Asia. It's bordered by China and Russia.
Gotcha. Follow-up question, do we need it?
Hello.
So, what do you have in the White House for toilet paper? Cottonelle, Charmin, Angel Soft?
I don't know.
I have to tell you, that quilted northern is terrific.
That's not really something I know much about.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to fly back to New York for all of my number twos.
Hello.
Now, how do I make a bill into a law?
Well, first Congress has to pass the bill.
Who's Congress? Am I Congress?
No.
Is Ivanka Congress?
No. She's your daughter.
She's hot, right?
She's a very attractive young lady.
You dog, you. I'm telling Michelle. Put her on the phone.
You know who I think you should call is German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel? Are you kidding me? I'll call her if I have a boner that needs to go away.
Hello?
Barack, it's Trump. Another question. The guys in the black robes.
The Supreme Court?
Yeah. Are they like my Severus Snapes? Can they cast spells for me? That's out.
Who's there?
Who?
Who?
Obama, I think there's an owl eavesdropping on our call.
Very good.
I'm not kidding. I think a spy owl is listening to us.
Donald, you're the one who was telling the joke.
Be quiet, Obama. I'm calling you back on a secure line. I'm on to you, spy owl.
So there we go. There's some actual taped conversation of Obama.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that Trump is going to do, right? He's going to entertain
well,
throughout.
Let's not forget. I mean, you know, I've been saying a lot of things about Hollywood, but this guy is a celebrity.
Oh, boy.
He's a reality TV star. So in some ways, you could say America got what it deserved.
Oh, my
finally.
Goodness.
Anyway, enough about that. There's so much other stuff to discuss. I know Mubs has got one or two news stories that are left over, and we got to get to Parks Dow, and we've got an interesting lineup today on cliffcentral.com. Plus, I want to get to your messages and read some of those out to you in a second, too. Mubs, what do you need us to know about?
Okay, so I don't know, when's the last time you got yourself tested for HIV? Because, look, for a lot of us, part of the problem is the laziness factor, right? A lot of the time you have to kind of get off your backside to go in to some or other sort of facility to get tested. But the South African Pharmacy Council has just recently abolished this restriction that prevents them from being able to sell home testing kits over the counter. This law was abolished on December the 23rd, which means that very, 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 very soon you will be able to get a home testing HIV kit directly over the counter at your nearest pharmacy. The kits are considered to be at least 99% accurate, which is,
only 99?
Only 99% accurate.
About the 1%.
Hey, amen. It's always about the 1%. It's a pinprick test, and it gives you the results within 15 minutes. The government plans to have 90% of people aware of their HIV status and 90% of HIV-positive people on treatment by the year 2020, in line with the UN goals. So at some point or another this year, you will be able to, you know, get your HIV testing kit over the counter at any pharmacy. This is good
That's
news.
Good.
This is really good news.
We used to do it every World AIDS Day.
Yes, we
December.
Did. Yeah.
We didn't do it last year.
No, we didn't.
But I think I had a test 6 months ago, and you go and you have a little pinprick, and it's the easiest thing in the world.
Mm.
And then the line, if there's a red line there between the two little markers, then you know you don't have HIV, but if you do, then you need to go for counseling, blah, 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 blah. So there's a whole thing that goes down.
So what happens with the counseling components then? Because I know that's critical when you go in for a test and they really sit you down and they brief you about everything. Now, if you buy it over the counter, it's just you and a glass of wine.
Yeah, it would be you and a glass of wine, but then you'd have to go to the doc the next morning and confirm it.
Yeah.
So you can do these tests to kind of check yourself, but you still, if you want to be sure, you do it twice and you get a doctor to do it, I reckon.
This was actually, you know, one of the big concerns, which is part of the reason why they didn't initially want to sell it to us over the counter, was because of exactly that reason. They said, well, how will people be able to handle if the test comes back positive? Mm. But I think that overall, because the most important thing is to have as many people testing as possible, you know, they decided that that needs to be a priority over what then happens after you test positive.
Well, I think
there are not enough of us testing for HIV.
Yeah. The more of us that do, the better, right?
Yeah,
true.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine that this would be bad for anybody. I think the more testing is available to people, the healthier society will be in general, the more aware we'll be of our own status, and that's never a bad thing. Even if you do the test, you come up HIV positive, and you don't know what to do, at least you have a result that you can deal with after that. Even if you need 3 or 4 days to calm down, and you don't do anything rash during that time, by the way, it's still better to have it in your hands.
And
wouldn't you rather know?
You know, because there's still that stigma as well. Some people still feel that shame of walking in and asking for an HIV test. Some people feel like they're too young. You know, it's all of that wrapped into one. So it's really going to help, I think.
All right, very good. Park Starr is coming up next, the former mayor of Johannesburg. Don't go anywhere. This is CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. Thought I'd get a little black coffee for you.
CliffCentral.com.